Welcome to From There to Here with your host, Miranda Dekonski. Together, we'll explore our personal journeys and how they have impacted where we are today. We hope that you'll walk away inspired, motivated, energized, and knowing that there is no right or wrong path. Each path is uniquely our own. And now your host, Miranda.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of From There to Here. I am your host, Miranda Dekonski, and today I'm so excited to be speaking to the one, the only, Mr. Dave Blake.
Dave, oh, thanks, Miranda.
Thank you for joining me today. Everybody, I'm sure, knows your name and knows who you are, but for those that don't, could you tell us a little bit about you and what you do and where you're from?
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me, Miranda. This is awesome. I'm excited for the conversation today. I'm Dave Blake. I'm the founder and CEO of a company called Client Success, which provides a customer success platform for customer success teams in the space. And I've spent my career mostly in this space very early on. And so it's a space that I know and love, and just excited, you know, really enjoy being in the community and contributing and trying to build something that's valuable for people.
Yeah. And, you know, for those that did tune in to hear you talk about client or customer success or client success today, bad news. We're probably not going to talk too much about customer success. I don't know how we can avoid it not coming up because we're both very active in the community together. But we want to actually learn about Dave as a person and a little bit about your journey. So tell me, Dave, where did you grow up?
Great question. I grew up in Utah, in a town called Ogden, Utah, and I'm one of six kids with in our family. And so we have five brothers and one sister. Our sister's the oldest, but that made for a lot of fun to have such a large, a big family, and to have five brothers to compete against and on the basketball field or basketball court or football field or wherever. It was a lot of fun.
Do you have any shenanigans? I imagine with that many brothers, there was probably a lot of shenanigans that went on.
Oh yeah. We're the best of friends, to this day and all through growing up, but we were very competitive. And so it didn't matter what we were doing, whether it be on a quarter field or trying to get the last piece of dessert at the dinner table. We were always competing with one another.
That's wonderful. And when you were growing up, what did you want to do?
You know, I always grew up, I wanted to be a doctor, a surgeon. And partly because a lot of the area we lived in happened to have a group of a lot of doctors in the area that lived around us. And so it was kind of a prestigious career. And several of my friends' dads were doctors. And for some reason, I grasped on that as well. So I had dreamed to be like a neurosurgeon or a sports doctor or something like that as I grew up.
And then obviously you made a different choice. So are there any moments from your past or your childhood that maybe changed that or mapped you to where you are today?
Chemistry in college. That's what changed it. I actually was in pre-med even in college and enjoyed it, but I just found and recognized that the content, like the learning and the materials and the concepts, I felt like I would be a really good people, like doctor, like a bedside manner and those things. And I could do it, but I just didn't love the learning the topics that were required. And so it was fairly late in my college career. During the summer, I said, you know what, during this summer, I'm going to take a break from pre-med classes and I'm just going to take some business classes and just see how it is. And took some business classes that semester and just loved it. I was engaged. It was natural to me. And I just decided late in my career, you know what, I think I'm going to go into business and changed at that time.
So. That's amazing. I've heard so many stories like that, but you're the first person I spoke to on this podcast that wanted to be a doctor. Believe it or not, customer success is filled with folks that wanted to be lawyers.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Christy is lawyers. One of them. But a lot of folks set out initially, myself included, wanting to be in law. Yeah. So very fascinating, the different paths that take us here. So tell me about your first job you ever had, or maybe even your most interesting job, if your first job isn't that.
First, you know, I did, worked a lot as a kid. We were always doing entrepreneurial things, whether it be, we did the typical paper route type of things. And then we would just kind of do entrepreneurial things as boys, just to kind of have a hustle and to learn and grow. But out of college, I would say my initial career was in accounting. I got an accounting degree, ended up getting a degree at BYU in accounting. And I went to a company that some might remember is called Arthur Andersen. And I was in their business consulting group. And so Arthur Andersen was a major accounting firm. It was like one of the big four, I think is what they called it. But they also had a business consulting arm. And I went there and was in the tech side of that, doing Oracle implementations back in the day. And that's where I really started my career, which was actually really good. It correlated very well with customer success. And I know we're not talking about customer success, but I learned very early on, how to work in a very professional environment, how to think critically, and also how in my role, how to really understand business and align business requirements and needs with technical solutions. So that was a good experience.
That's interesting.
Little did I know that, like, for those who might remember Arthur Andersen, they had on the tax and audit side, they had a major kind of scandal. And what was a thriving global company overnight basically went out of business, which was around this, what they called the Enron scandal. So I went from being in a great global company that I thought I might be for most of my career to all of a sudden, I'm now looking for new opportunities and moving on from this experience, which was kind of interesting as an early professional.
I know folks can't see my face, but I think I just made the connection. When you mention Arthur Andersen, I'm like, where have I heard them from? So they were the accountant that was involved in the Enron scandal.
That's right.
Wow. Fascinating.
Many years ago.
What was the environment like, if I can ask, when that was all going down in the office?
I think it was just a shock and unbelief because it was, it seemed like 100,000 employees worldwide. And the reputation of the firm was a really strong, credible reputation of integrity and for decades, for 80 years. And it was just an unfortunate situation where the decisions of a small group in one of the offices globally had just made bad decisions, and that very quickly just impacted the entire business. And when you're a tax and audit and consulting firm, you rely on integrity and credibility. That's you. That is your brand and your business. And so it just went quickly into where everybody where the business went out of business. And so that was my early experience. It was kind of interesting, but I was still grateful for the experience that I and the learnings I had.
Yeah, I haven't been through anything that big, but I've been through a lot of things. Like Chapter 11, I've been through some, scandalous things in Silicon Valley, not myself, but companies that I've been associated with. How did that moment change how you approached business or your career?
I think it just re-emphasized at an early stage that our brand is based on our largely on our character and who we are. And how important it is to have high character, and also how important it is to recognize that there's a business brand, but there's a personal brand. And what is each of our personal brands as far as the personality, how we treat people, how we approach business, how we treat customers, and those types of things. I think that was a really good early lesson as well.
Yeah, it's a solid lesson that unfortunately you had to learn it that way. I'm sure it made you much better from it, right? Kind of going down that same path, and I've said this again and again in this podcast, one of the things I'm trying to do is normalize this idea of perfection really isn't perfection, that, we have various paths that we take, we have ups and downs, we make mistakes, And some of my biggest learning moments have come from the mistakes that I've made, both personally and professionally. Yeah. When I say that, do you have any moments that come to mind for you?
Mistakes. We could probably spend all day on a mistake. and you know what? And I would say that that's a good thing. Like mistakes, that's part of life and that's part of learning. And sometimes we learn better from our more impactful from our mistakes than our successes. You know, I think some of the mistakes that I've made is over the years that I think that are painful for me really tend to be around people. And I don't know, some examples might be, you know, I'm a people person, and I think that there's this always balance. I think there's two situations. It's one, it's rewarding those who are the high performers, and then also helping those that are low performance. And I think I've had mistakes on both sides, and maybe I'll give an example. One is low performers. I like to give people a second chance and maybe a third chance. But I think one of the things I learned on in the early in my management career was the impact that a low performer or somebody who's dragging you down.
You're a busy man. We all get it.
I'm sorry about that.
That's okay.
The impact that a low performer might have on the rest of the team. And while I want to be compassionate to that individual and give them two or three or four chances, the difficulty of that, the impact on the rest of the team can drag them down. On the other hand, and so I think it's that careful balance that I've learned. And I think sometimes I've kept individuals long to where it just the morale of the team was really difficult. And my perception as a leader in the company was damaged in that situation. On the other hand, I think the other one that I'm really trying to do is like, then on how do you reward the top performers? And how do you celebrate them and really make sure that they receive the opportunities? And I think one of the most painful things that I've ever had in my career is where you have a great performer who comes and says, you know, Dave, for whatever reason, I'm just not getting what I need from this experience. And I need to go on. And when you recognize that I could have done something had I invested in that person earlier or better, those are always painful for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing those. It's very humbling to hear you say that as a leader. And I feel like I've made the same mistake. So I was nodding my head, you know, profusely over here because, you know, I've given folks, you know, second, third, fourth, fifth chances, kind of putting on these blinders of thinking, you know, I can help make them successful. I can help them be successful in this environment or here. And the reality is I was doing a tremendous disservice, not only to the core team, but also to them as individuals.
Exactly.
And just because they weren't successful in that moment, in that particular organization with that particular team, doesn't mean they won't be at the next organization. Exactly. It's a completely different environment, different ecosystem, different recipes. And I've seen it again and again where folks have either had issues at their previous organization and come in to where I am and have been incredibly successful, or have had certain issues within organizations that I've been part of and moved on and have had great successes elsewhere. Yeah. I think keeping that lens on helps me look at performance issues a little bit differently.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I think that's the key learning is that you can still help them move on and be compassionate in doing so. And I don't want to ever lose the compassionate side, but I also want to be more quick in saying, hey, this is probably not the right fit for you and it's not the right fit for us. Let's help you get to where you want to go.
Right.
And so those are tough situations, but they're really important to just hit head on as a leader.
Yeah. Well, in the moment it becomes easy, and I've said this to multiple people managers that have worked with me, the moment it becomes easy to exit someone or easy to have to terminate someone, you have to really look at yourself in the mirror.
Exactly.
Because you're working with real humans, you're impacting their lives, their livelihood, their sometimes mental health. So it's something that, you know, empathy has to be front and center for.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So kind of looking back a little bit more, if you could give advice to your 18-year-old self, you know, last year, yeah, what would that advice be?
You know, I think it's just to dream big and not be afraid to take chances. I think when we take chances, that's where we get outside of our comfort zone. That's where the best personal and professional learning happens. And sometimes we just get so caught up in the fear of the unknown or the fear of instability. You know, right now we're trying to recruit some folks, and we were talking about, like, you know, they were looking at different stages of company and saying, are we too early stage versus some of these others? And I just think that there's risk everywhere, whether you're at a big company. How many big companies are laying people off? Exactly.
My husband works for a very large company, very large oil company that I won't name. He's been there 22, 23 years. They do layoffs every year almost.
Yeah. And that's the case. That's the reality. So you understand that risk is a blessing sometimes, and embrace it and do it, because you're going to get the best learning that you can. So that's what I would say. And that's kind of what I try to teach my kids, is just like, embrace opportunities, get out of your comfort zone, move away from and experience a new location and a new company and those things. It's scary, yes, but some of my best memories have been those where I stepped out into the unknown, and I look back and I'm like, that changed the trajectory of my career, and I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, no, I love that. Now, outside of your professional life, what do you like to do?
I mentioned kids. I have 5 kids, and one is married, and she is graduating from BYU tomorrow, which is exciting. I have 2 daughters. One's in college. Both of them are in college. One's married. One's is about to get engaged. And then I've got 2 sons in high school and a daughter in junior high. So when I'm not working, I'm usually with them somewhere, either on a baseball or football field or a dance recital, or making memories on a vacation. And that's what I love.
As a mom, that speaks to my heart. I love my son. You know, he calls me a few times a week, which I'm so grateful for.
Yeah.
He learned that, I think, from my husband. My husband calls his mother 3 times a week. She's on the other coast. She's over in New Jersey. And I just get all excited when I see his number come up on my phone. And he was telling me he wants to come home this weekend to visit. Like, I get all giddy, like,
so fun. It's so fun. We love to be together. On a personal front, I love to water ski and snow ski. And now the big thing is wake surfing. So we like to be on a boat somewhere, either at a lake near us here in Utah, or at Lake Powell at the southern end of Utah. So I love to be outdoors and golf and those types of things.
I went to Utah I'd been to Utah a couple of times, but I didn't explore much. I kind of flew into Salt Lake and, you know, went for meetings or whatever. But I, in 2020, I did some exploration, and I went to Bryce and Zion and Grand Canyon, did some hiking. It's such a beautiful state. I'm surprised that more people aren't flooding the region, like your population. Like, it's just so
we don't tell everybody. No, we have a joke here in Utah where we certainly welcome everybody everywhere, but we try to keep it a secret, because it's such a great state to live in. I'm in tech and SaaS. There's a thriving tech ecosystem here, which is so cool to work here. And great talent. But everything that Utah has to offer is amazing, from mountains to mountain biking to Zion and Bryce, our national parks, so many neat things. So I feel lucky that we're here.
So it's kind of otherworldly. Like, when I was hiking through Bryce doing what I think it's called Wall Street is the name of the hike. First of all, it almost killed me because I'm not in great shape. Second, I was just every corner, I was like, It's like you feel like you're on Mars, right? Like you imagine this is the way Mars must look like. It's like beautiful.
It's awe-inspiring. It's magical. And we take it for granted a lot living here, but it's awesome. We love living here.
Wonderful. Well, what is your favorite productivity hack that you could share with folks?
Oh, good question. You caught me off guard. You know, I just think I don't know if this is a hack.
Okay.
But I think the key thing is like, whatever you do, just be consistent. So whatever hacks you like, I think it's just figuring out a rhythm. I'm not a person who likes to swing and do crazy things either way, but I just like kind of finding a rhythm and a productivity that I like and just try to be consistent with it. So I don't know if that's a productivity hack.
No, I think that is definitely a productivity hack. Being consistent, sometimes it feels like you have to hack that, especially in early stage startups where every day is kind of like a choose your own adventure book. I don't know if you remember those books.
Yes, for sure.
So we kind of went through a little bit of your past and to where you are current. Let's imagine we're 100 years out from now and folks are reminiscing about the impact that Dave Blake made. Mm-hmm. What do you want them to be thinking about? What do you want your legacy to be, so to speak?
You know, I think that I kind of go back to some of the themes. I hope that people remember me as a husband and father, great husband and father initially, and then just a somebody who's a positive builder of people and companies and wherever. I hope that I like to build, and I'm a people person. And I hope that the people feel that I've been able to inspire in some way to people to be just a little bit better than they are and to encourage them to be the best people that they are. That's really what I want. That's kind of what I want to do with, you know, is why I went into build a company was to build a legacy around good people and creating great things and a great culture in you know, beyond our ecosystem here in Utah or global.
Well, anyway. I can personally say, Dave, I've known you for, I don't know how many years now, but I consider you a friend and I consider you someone that I respect and admire a lot. And I feel like you do that. You have a positive way about you, a positive aura, and you're always looking out for the good of the group, the good of the whole. And as somebody who was a customer of yours, like, I was blown away that if there was a moment where there was a struggle, you would pick up and you would just call my cell phone and say, what do we do? And we partnered, right? And it felt very good. And I loved that.
Well, thank you. I cherish the friendship that we have and likewise with you. I love how you build and this is a great example to just share and tell stories. That's a really cool thing you're doing.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And I appreciate you being here. My last question for you is if you could have dinner with any two people that are alive, who would they be and why?
You know what? I think it'd be cool to go to a dinner with the Obamas. I hope that's not, it's hard to go political, but I just think they're fascinating people. And I think that would be interesting to go to dinner with them and just hear their stories. I think, so that's one. And I'm a big fan of right now, Ryan Smith at Qualtrics. I'm a good friend of his. I just feel like that he's been a founder that I look up to who tries to do what I do. He doesn't want to necessarily, his legacy isn't about business. It's about giving back to the community and being known and different causes. He's done Five for the Fight for cancer research and doing a great thing to give scholarships for kids that are underrepresented and those things. And I like that. That's kind of what I would like to do is be known more beyond just being a CEO with a company, just being known as a great person. So those are two that that I might say.
So one, Obama's make it onto the list of many CS professionals and CS execs. So I want you to know that. Two, you have to listen. If you have Netflix, Obama is narrating a really awesome series on national parks on there.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know if you've seen it, but if you haven't, totally must watch it.
It's okay, I got it.
Soothing about listening to him talk us through what the animals are doing and the ecosystem. And
exactly. No, I'm going to watch it. You take political preferences aside, just if, as a people. I don't want to really necessarily talk politics, but as individuals, I think that they would be fascinated to have a conversation with.
And I believe you had the CEO of Qualtrics talk at CS100 a couple of years ago. I remember him being just incredibly fascinating.
Yeah. He's been gracious. That's what I appreciate. He's always been gracious that to help and be a mentor. And so I appreciate that.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for your time today. I'm sure everybody is going to enjoy your stories that you shared. I know I do. And I appreciate you giving me your time. I know you're a very busy person. So thank you.
You bet. I had a lot of fun. Thanks for having me, Miranda.
Thanks for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed this episode of From There to Here. Check back weekly for new episodes. For more conversations about this episode and more, please feel free to follow Miranda on LinkedIn. See you soon.